Episode 3. This is the third part in our October pro-life mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. 2 weeks ago, in episode 1, we reflected on the true meaning of the words traditional, conservative, and rigid. We learned that tradition just means to hand down or hand on. And conservative just means to preserve, to keep safe, maintain. And rigid means unbending, unchanging, inflexible. The metaphor that we used in episode 1 was the Pony Express. It's a perfect analogy. I don't write the mail. I just deliver it. My job is to hand on the good news that we have received from Jesus Christ. And I have to conserve it. Keep it safe from the attacks of the enemy as I get the Lord's message safely from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California. And we know that the enemy will be hiding in the Rocky Mountains. And he will try to destroy the mail, God's message. He'll try to rewrite the message and deliver a false, distorted message. But I assure you that in rain, snow, sleet, or hail, I will get the Lord's message through to you, unchanged and perfectly intact. I am rigid about not changing what the Lord wrote in his mail to you. I will not bend on our Lord's unchanging, beautiful truth. Last week in episode 2, we gave thanks to Almighty God for his beautiful plan for marriage and sexuality. I know that episode 2 was long, but here's just a brief summary. I've summarized it in 7 points, and you'll wonder, why couldn't you say it that way last week? But here's the summary of episode 2. Point 1, God is the author of marriage between only one man and one woman. It was his idea. 2, we know that God's plan was for a marriage between only one man and one woman by looking at nature. That's called natural law. And also by looking at divine revelation. And that is found in scripture and tradition. We know from the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas that civil law must always reflect divine law. That's point 3. Point 4 is that we have an obligation to oppose any legislation that says that same-sex unions are the same as marriage as God intended between only one man and one woman. 5, we oppose these unjust laws not only because it's contrary to divine law, but because it's a sin against justice. We said, based on the movie that we saw, that every child has a right to a mom and a dad. It would be a sin against justice. Every child has a right to proper formation of God's laws regarding sexuality and marriage. 6, we said that homosexual activity is always and everywhere gravely wrong and sinful. Those people with a homosexual inclination are called to remain chaste, pure, and completely abstinent. Yet remember, those who humbly confess their sins to a priest and repent of their wrong can receive divine mercy and unconditional forgiveness. The Lord always gives us an opportunity to start over and to live a life of virtue. And 7th, and finally, although a homosexual inclination is not sinful in itself, it is a disorder. It is a sickness, like leprosy in last week's gospel. But remember, most of all, we don't make fun of people or pick on people or mock or harass or laugh at or call people names who have disorders or diseases or sicknesses or addictions or handicaps. We learned that back in kindergarten. We don't make fun of people. No, as Christians, we treat everyone with love and respect and compassion. We treat everyone with dignity because they are made in the image and likeness of God. And speaking of making fun of people, that kind of makes a good beginning to episode 3, a perfect springboard into episode 3 for this week. This summer, I was visiting with some friends of mine, a married man and woman. They're far away. They're out in California. You don't know who they are. And they told me that they are pregnant with their 7th child. And I said, oh, congratulations. That's awesome. What a blessing for you and your family. And they said, you know what, Father? You're the only person who said that. I said, what? They said, you're the only person that's told us that. Everybody else says, what? Really? You've got to be kidding. Why would you want another kid? Don't you know how to fix this problem? They said people started making fun of them when they had 4 kids. Now that they're ready to have their 7th kid, people basically treat them as aliens from another planet. Interesting. This couple must have experienced what Alice Faye Porter experienced. Some of you might know Alice Faye Porter. She's one of our very own parishioners. And one of her hobbies was writing poetry. When I did her funeral a few years ago, the family gave me a small book of her poetry. It's beautiful poetry. I was reading through the poetry, and I found this poem that I'd like to read to you by Alice Faye Porter of St. James, Minnesota. Each person has his own pet peeve. The same it is with me. I don't like people's attitude towards my big family. We walk down the church aisle. Folks stare from left to right. Has mother love just blinded me? Weren't my children born quite right? I look at each child carefully, and when my fear has eased, I realize it's just their number that has them so displeased. We all go to the theater. It causes quite a stir. People blink and shake their heads and say, "Do they all belong to her?" Now listen, folks, I like my kids, their goodness and their bad. They've given me more happiness than you've ever had. They take a lot of work and care, and it costs quite a bit. But a family's an investment with a future in it. Just think of all the little spirits waiting around forlorn because Birth Control Incorporated says they should never be born. It takes a lot of nerve on the part of mere man to think he's big and wise enough to revise God's master plan. And that's Alice Faye Porter's poem. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, as I think about it, you know, it's one thing not to be open to children yourself. But it's another terrible thing to mock, pick on, laugh, and make fun of those who want to have kids. I mean, didn't we learn that in kindergarten too? I mean, we're not in third grade anymore. Look at her over there. She's following all the teacher's rules. She's the goody two-shoes, always doing what she's told all the time. It's one thing if you don't do what you're told. It's another thing to make fun, laugh at, and mock those who are doing what is right. I didn't realize that this was such a great problem. And another story that I can tell you happened not that long ago during wedding season. I've done a number of weddings this season. And as I was preaching the wedding homily, during the wedding, I said during the sermon that the bride and groom wanted to have about 5 to 7 children. Now, you should have been where I was standing. You should have seen the reaction from the congregation. Some people went, you should have seen some people's eyes popping out of their mouths. Looks of shock and horror, people shaking their heads. You would have thought that I said the bride and groom wanted to grow horns. They were so shocked that they wanted to have so many kids. It's very interesting to me to see there's a negative attitude then that exists toward children. Children are treated as a problem, as a disease. And if you want to have children, there's something wrong with you. And then we wonder why abortion is such a problem in our world today. You know, the evil enemy tries to promulgate a lie. Here's the lie. The evil enemy promulgates the lie that if the use of contraception goes up, certainly abortions will go down. That is a lie. The truth is that as the use of contraception grows up, abortions go up. Why? That doesn't make sense. Because abortion is the last resort if contraception fails. This is what Pope John Paul II of blessed memory says. He says, despite their differences of nature and moral gravity, he says, contraception and abortion are often closely connected as fruits of the same tree. Now that's beautiful. Isn't that something? Contraception and abortion are fruits of the same tree. What's the tree then? What's the root? The root is a dislike, a hatred toward children. Children are not possessions. They're gifts from God. They're blessings, not to be avoided at all costs. As Alice Faye Porter says, what nerve we have to revise God's master plan. Yes, God's master plan is that we be open to the gift of children and we cooperate with Him in bringing beautiful new souls into the world, true fruit that will endure to eternity. God's master plan is that we are generous with Him. This is what the Catechism says in paragraph 2373. You can go look it up when you go home and photocopy it. Put it on your refrigerators. It says this: Sacred Scripture and the Church's traditional practice see in large families a sign of God's blessing and the parents' generosity. Large families, according to the Bible and the tradition of the church, large families are a sign of God's blessing and the parents' generosity. So, today I want to say thanks be to God for all of those generous parents. Pope John Paul II says, there are still many married couples who, with a generous sense of responsibility, are ready to accept children as the supreme gift of marriage. Thanks be to God that there still are married couples who have this generous spirit. Thanks to all of those generous parents who suffer embarrassment and rude remarks just because you want to have another beautiful child. Thanks be to God to those beautiful parents who are foster parents. And although you've had many of your own children, you have a generous spirit in your hearts and want to welcome more kids into your family to take care of them. Thanks be to God to those parents who generously choose adoption. We know people right in our own community who have chosen adoption. That's a generous response. Even adopting mentally or physically handicapped children. Isn't that beautiful? And thanks to those who have not chosen direct sterilization only as a means not to have any more children, as if they were like a dog or a cat. And thanks to those generous parents who do not use contraception, but are open to the gift of children, and who have to make a leap of faith and trust in God to plan their family. So to all of those generous parents, I say, as Jesus says, don't grow weary. And don't lose heart with all of the laughs and the snide comments. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Your reward in heaven will be great. One thing that I pray for always is that our Lord's beautiful plan on being generous and open to the gift of children will be accepted by everyone. And I never grow weary or lose heart. You know why? Because I know when the fullness of the truth is preached, people will respond with love and generosity. If you were bold last week in thanking God for giving us marriage between only one man and one woman, will you be bold again this week in joining me in praying always that this teaching on generosity and openness to children will be loved and embraced by all men of goodwill? And pray with me too that married couples in our own parish and in our own families would have room for another beautiful soul in their families. One more soul, or maybe two, or three. Oh, just even one more soul that they would be open to. That would bring us so much joy here on earth and would make our joy that much more glorious in heaven.